January 21st for Hindsight 2020, debriefing the last 3 years. A day of special programming looking back at the Trump regime, what happened, why, and the repercussions domestically and internationally. We'll focus on national policy, foreign policy, privacy and surveillance, policing, immigration, labor rights, confronting white nationalism, the environment, and much more. Again, that's Hindsight 2020, debriefing the last 3 years on Tuesday, January 21st from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of In the Blast Zone, a panel on tar sands by rail on Tuesday, January 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. at Patagonia in Portland. In 2018, the Zenith Energy Oil Terminal opened, the first tar sands by rail export terminal on the West Coast. The Center for a Sustainable Economy hosts this panel discussion with activists fighting tar sands by rail in the Pacific Northwest. Again, that's In the Blast Zone, a panel on tar sands by rail on Tuesday, January 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. at Patagonia, 1106 West Burnside in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm. on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We will not bow down to racism.
We will not bow down to
injustice.
We will not bow down to
exploitation. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand.
Now this is time for free your mind and your soul. Yo, our story has never been told. Ladies, you got to demand what you want, and what we want is respect, right?
Come and take a walk with me. Cross a walk with me. See what only I can see.
Sisters, check this. Watch this.
Opportunity, you in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free, don't hinder me, let me be.
I'm out here for freedom, I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier, ain't nobody told ya.
We've been together since I created border. The African border celebration is in order.
My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a freaking eagle.
A bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need them, so I took away his freedom.
Telling us these lies, listening to The Struggle with Olivia and who else?
Alyssa, I'm also here. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Alyssa. I'm also here.
How has this week been for you?
I've had a wonderful week, actually.
What made it so wonderful?
I'm a preschool teacher, and my kids were wonderful this week. They were so lovely, and I went to therapy yesterday, and I'm healthier than I've been in like 2 or 3 years, so that's pretty cool.
How are you pulling off that health?
It's amazing what happens when you don't have to support yourself while you are pursuing a degree that means almost nothing and incurring $30,000 in debt. So I think cutting that out of my life, out of any food, drink, habit, substance, cutting out incurring the $30,000 in debt at Portland State University did the most for my health out of anything else.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah. How about you? How was your week?
Well, I'm better now. Last week we were sick. We were coughing.
Yeah, we were both really sick last week. Now I'm healthier than I've been in 2 years.
That's a fast turnaround. Yeah, there is a cough button that we can press.
But
we're not doing that.
We don't do that on the show.
We've already established that. Olivia has cystic fibrosis.
Thank you very much.
Has to clear her throat all the time. There it is. And we don't hit the cough button. And
absolutely not.
That's how it goes.
We have a guest today.
Oh my God, somebody just walked in.
She literally just walked in, and it's like
we need to give her an award for most visited guest.
Oh.
Kayla Briggs.
Hi.
Kayla Briggs.
Hello.
The co-chair of DSA Labor.
That's me.
The Labor Working Group with the Democratic Socialists of America to talk about some stuff that you have coming up.
Yeah, we've got some events coming up in the labor world.
So thank you for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia and I were just talking about our weeks. We're both very happy about Olivia being the healthiest that she's been in years.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
And me, I'm still here.
And you look good.
Oh, and I look good. Thank you.
Oh.
Kayla, how has your week been?
Oh, my week was fine. I work in schools, and I was really excited about some snow coming, but we never got it. So
talk about
just
it.
Kept having to wake up and go to work, which was fine, but it happened.
PPS had a late start today for literally no reason, but that's none of my business. I don't work at PPS.
Well, what was the reason that I gave?
It was like freezing rain last night, even though there was like no ice and no snow. It's very Oregon, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, sweeties. When people live up in the hills, they have that's ice true. On there, and it's hard for them to go to school. So.
Yeah,
Clark College was closed for a couple of days. So shout out to anybody listening who goes there
because it was closed.
Well, because they were on strike, Olivia.
Yeah. Oh,
the faculty was on strike, and they won.
Yeah,
so even if they should have had a snow day, they didn't. They were out there on the picket lines. Stomping the street in the cold and the rain and the snow and the dark. They were out there early and late, and they won.
So the administration was being pretty stalwart until they saw how serious and prepared the union was with like multiple actions that took it further than just picketing outside, but like interrupted business as usual and like went to some of the board members' houses, I heard. And
Love that.
Yeah, so paid them some visits. So that's how you win a strike.
Wonderful.
So if anyone's wondering how it's done, you might want to talk to some of the people with the Clark College union up there.
The stuff they won actually was retroactive also for this year. So it's not even just they won for their future, but they're going to get more money for the work they've done in the past.
Yes.
Yeah, in the labor movement, we call that sweet revenge.
When the revolution comes, there will be a lot of retroactive gains anyway.
We got to start with Reclaim King. This is the sixth annual
Children's March for Social Justice held by Don't Shoot Portland, the most powerful iteration of the Black Lives Matter movement in Portland, Oregon. Don't forget it. Yeah, so this weekend, you just got off work, maybe. You're going into your three-day weekend, and you're very excited about it, and you're wondering, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. Why do I have a three-day weekend? You don't remember. And it's because Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, baby. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday was this week. Monday is the day that we celebrate him and what he gave to the struggle. Not just the I Have a Dream speech, but the powerful things that he fought for and on the basis of racial justice, economic justice, labor and workers' rights.
Anti-war.
Anti-war.
Don't forget that.
He was a communist. I mean, you can presume.
Yeah, he was for sure anti-capitalist.
So,
what was his quote? He said it's out that capitalism has outlived its usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said it takes necessities away from the poor,
mm-hmm.
To give luxuries to the rich.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a strong critique.
He's got a strong critique.
Well, this is what Reclaim King is about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a vague, like, come volunteer
mm-hmm.
today to, you know, do whatever thing.
Remember racism.
Yeah.
Is
right.
And not just using Martin Luther King as kind of just like a, I don't know, a weird spokesperson or like your personal puppet to show that you aren't racist, but to actually reclaim and reassert the deeper parts of his politics that made him so powerful and made him not as popular in the 60s as he is today.
When he died, he had a low favorability rating, mm-hmm. like in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want people to know that he hasn't always been the darling
mm-hmm.
of people in this country, and that it is because of a very good PR campaign throughout the years mm-hmm. that has rehabilitated his legacy, but then has also sort of turned it into something that I'm not sure that he would have been happy about, which is like defanging a lot of what his views are. But that's what the Reclaim King event is for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at Peninsula Park.
Peninsula Park. It's going to be Monday, Martin Luther King Day, January 20th at noon to 5. Again, held by Don't Shoot Portland. It is going to be the 6th annual Children's March for Social Justice in the name of Martin Luther King Day. And it is their most important action of the year, Don't Shoot Portland says. Once again, children will lead with parents, community, and neighbors supporting the promotion of free speech for our demands of human rights and dignity. We stand together in solidarity for social change. The Children's Art and Social Justice join forces annually to celebrate the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King with several community groups, union sponsors, and partner organizations. Don't Shoot Portland will collect food and clothing for local families, which is distributed all year long through Don't Shoot Portland's partnership to support the community feed-in programming at Hughes Memorial. Join us. You can join them for sign making at the Portland Art Museum, and you can go online to the event for Reclaim King 1 2020, all things being equal, that's the event name, to figure out more information for how you can not only be there to support the event, but to help get it going. And again, this is child-led. It is the Children's March for Social Justice and Martin Luther King Day. So if you have babies, cousins, if you are a child yourself, you should go.
If you're a child listening to The Struggle, thank you so much.
You're doing a great job.
Maybe it's my siblings, Maya, Xavier. Anyway.
Shout out to Olivia's younger sibling.
Shout out to my younger sibling. They're not listening to this. They aren't politically plugged in yet.
Not yet. So what are you doing, Olivia?
Oh, to help them?
Yeah, what is your plan to politicize?
I don't want to call my family. My mother, when I was living in my family's house, which I did until I was 21, my mother would not let me bring my siblings to protests.
Oh.
Granted, I don't drive. But I would be willing to take them down, and she would say, no, my mom has an idea that I respect, that you should not be involved in things like that until you know, have a fuller idea maybe than a child might always be able to have about what it's about. Mm. We don't agree on that. But this is not about me and my mother's political disagreements. That's absolutely not what the show is about. The struggle, as me and my mother struggle to see eye to eye politically.
The struggle on KBOO Radio, not about...
Not about me and my mom's relationship. But shout out to my mom and I have a wonderful relationship, just for the record. Maybe I love her very much and she's great.
Maybe there could be a shakeup in the KBOO lineup and there will be a show about mothers and daughters and their complex relationships.
Yeah.
Somebody get on that.
Somebody do it and then invite me and then I'll bring my mom on.
Oh, well, I would love to hear you and your mother on the
radio. Great. We talk very similarly. Again, this is not what the show is about. This is not about my mom.
Okay. Kayla, save us. What did you stop by to talk about?
I just wanted to come in and hang out with y'all.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I can talk about what's going on with labor.
Yeah.
The DSA Labor Working Group is hosting a training tomorrow, which is pretty cool. So we believe in the Labor Working Group that one of the best ways that we can combat the evils of capitalism is by fighting capitalists where we interact with them, mm-hmm. which is at work. Mm-hmm. And so we think that the best way to do that is to organize with your coworkers about things that suck at work and figure out how to talk to your boss about it and get them to actually change things. So we teach people how to talk to each other about what a union might look like or what it is that is upsetting them at work, and then talk about who they need to talk to get that to change. And we talk about how to have an escalating campaign, how to build from having no organizing at work all the way to maybe going on strike like the Clark College professors just did, or maybe just getting something small like a change in the way that your schedule is run at work. So it's an all-day training. It's tomorrow at the Portland Association of Teachers, and it starts at 9 and it's going to go to 4. And we are also serving lunch, and it's going to be really fun. It's a really fun training. I encourage people to come. You can find it online. There's a Facebook group for it, or a Facebook event for it. It's called Secrets of a Successful Organizer.
After the book?
After the book, which was written by organizers at Labor Notes, which is a big national organization that helps people to figure out how to start unions. It's a really great book and a really great training. And one of the people who wrote the book is going to be at the training.
Wonderful.
Helping us. Yeah, Mark Brenner. Shout out to Mark Brenner.
Wow. What a great resource.
Yeah,
for anybody who's experiencing any kind of inconvenience, exploitation, oppression, or unhappiness at their job. Mm-hmm. So if
that means you.
That means surely everybody listening to this show, I would presume.
This training is going to be children. Packed.
Except for the children. But I mean...
Organize against your teacher, kids.
I think about that a lot. I was thinking...
Not Olivia, though.
Oh, I was having a lot. I mean, yeah. Or I would love for my students to organize against me. But...
Go on.
I mean, I was just thinking about today. How I try to encourage my kids... How I must at some point, as the person of authority in the room, use like divide and conquer tactics to make my day run smoothly, because I'll have my kids engaging in behavior that is not my favorite. And then a lot of the time what works best is to empower the children to remind their friends of what choices they can make, mm-hmm. that are positive, and to discourage them from other choices or to ignore them and not engage with them.
Oh, you're even creating those little are team their, leads and managers.
Those are their comrades. And I don't want to do it, but I also don't want people to, I don't do a myriad of things. To hit people, to push people, to throw things at people.
Oh my
to
goodness.
Scream at the top of their lungs in people's faces, to rip people's drawings up. But.
Is this what they do?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all the time, but every day, shortly.
All right. Well,
is this what they do?
These children?
That's what they do.
I don't know. I don't have any experience with kids.
Yes,
I don't
you
know.
Do.
I don't know. Couldn't
yes,
tell you.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Don't know.
Don't know. Don't know.
Know. Okay. Know she's saying.
So, Olivia, the thing that's happening this week that I want people to know about is about Jeremy Christian. Bad. Yeah, the quote Antifa defense. So this is this week in the Willamette.
Mm-hmm.
So the murder trial for Jeremy Christian begins next week in Multnomah County Circuit mm-hmm. Court.
Which I can't believe. I don't know. The criminal justice system is so absolutely out of this world. The fact that this trial is starting now.
Mm-hmm. Was it been 2 years?
Yeah.
In May 2017 yeah, is when it happened.
Yeah, May 26, 2017. He killed two people, stabbing them, and one person survived. Our friend Micah Fletcher. He is his attorney is expected to claim self-defense. Using the general fear that some people have of Antifa to sort of assert that he was afraid and that's why he stabbed these people.
And for those of you who don't remember who Jeremy Christian is or aren't recognizing the name, he's a man who last year on May 26 on the Max was harassing saying racist and Islamophobic things towards two black girls, one of which was wearing a hijab, and these three men stepped in and yelled at him and pushed him and tried to get him away from these girls, and he stabbed two of them to death, as Liz just said, and stabbed the third one of them who survived. That's Michael Fletcher, and the two other people who died protecting these girls were named I know one of them is named Talisman Namkai and I'm looking for the third victim's name, but this is what we're talking about.
So we'll be keeping eyes on this to see like what happens, but I just wanted to keep people updated about that, that he'll be having his day in court, and it will have implications for racist and fascist attacks and for people who dare to stand up against them.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to keep people on that. Related to that is our new police chief.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just want to say the three people who were stabbed are Micah Fletcher, who lived in Ricky Best, Talisman Namkai, Meche or Mesh. So thank you and rest in peace to those people. Continue.
So we have a new police chief, Jamie Reich, who's replacing Daniel Outlaw, who's now Philadelphia's problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want anyone to get excited thinking that this is a way to get in there and start fighting for meaningful reform. She's made it very clear, this is from Alex Zelensky in the Mercury, that she plans to keep things going the way that they were, the status quo. She's not coming in to shake anything up or change anything. So I just want people to know who is a person who we're likely going to be protesting against, and who said that she has every intention to beat protesters down, mm-hmm. just like they have been. So be as safe as you can when you fight for justice, but this is the new person who's in now. So
Ted Wheeler or his cabinet, I guess, have said it took Ted Wheeler 7 months to pick Daniel Outlaw because they needed something new, something fresh, and now they are satisfied, which is why she was chosen so quickly. It is the opposite. They say now they're happy. They're happy with the trajectory. They're specifically happy, or Jamie Reich is specifically happy with the way that Portland police currently respond to protests. She thinks it's fine. She wants to continue that. And she pledges to continue to support all the great work that is already being done. Now is the time to continue the momentum. It is not time to veer in a different direction.
Wow.
Anybody who is on the left and who engages in any kind of civil disobedience of any type in the city, I think, understands that Portland police are completely untrustworthy, extremely repressive, extremely racist, and just kind of almost like laughably against the people that they're meant to, not meant to, but supposedly protect, which is, yeah. So this is very, it's just funny.
That's the allegation. That's the allegation. So on that, the next protest that we've got coming up for people to keep their eye on is a continuation of the No War on Iran event that we were at a couple weeks ago. This is going to be next Saturday, January 25th. Cities across the globe are going to be doing this at the same time, protest against a new war in the Middle East, and it's called No War with Iran and U.S. out of the Middle East. So we'll see. Maybe this is going to be Jamie's chance to beat up some protesters, and maybe it'll be us.
Oh, her first showing.
Yeah.
Come on, girls.
They'll attack anybody.
Wow, her premiere moment where she got dressed up. Look good.
No, I don't want people to hear that and be like, what? I'm not going. I mean, listen, it's never safe in the street.
It's going to be just as unsafe as before because she wants to continue everything the way it's been.
Yeah.
So.
On the show, we encourage people to get out, get active. The way to fight back against the fears that are plaguing you is to link with people who feel like you do and try to make a change. And laughing at the fact that we are in danger is just one way that I can deal with my own fear. So, yeah, the police are repressive and violent, and we have to go protest anyway. So, U.S. Out of the Middle East.
U.S. out of the Middle East. No War with Iran out of the Middle East. The event is Saturday. Why did I say that? That's so weird. Next Saturday. So tomorrow, but a week later.
We love the way Olivia describes time.
2:30 p.m. At Pioneer Courthouse Square. The Trump administration is threatening war with Iran, and has been for a while, just in terms of warmongering and sanctions and the fear-based like rhetoric that Trump has used and that the U.S. has used around Iran for years. That has recently escalated. The U.S. is disregarding the Iraqi parliament's vote to expel U.S. troops from their country, and the U.S. continues to occupy Afghanistan and more. Oh, and the U.S. is also increasing sanctions designed to kill ordinary Iranians. Remember, sanctions kill, which we'll talk about in a second. Sanctions do not hold governments accountable. Sanctions...
It's not... Sanctions are not diplomacy.
Sanctions harm ordinary people and can be twofold, because not only do they harm ordinary people, but then create a situation that creates less accountability for the government of the country that the sanctions are being applied to, because then any oppression is now no longer their fault either. It's the U.S.'s fault. Really, both actors are toxic, and we need to liberate the working and ordinary people in these places. Anyway, people in the U.S. need to stand up to our government and their war machine to say no more war and occupation. Join the newly forming Portland Anti-War Coalition in a rally to demonstrate on January 25th, again at 2:30 p.m. in Pioneer Square. The only way we can beat back the drums of war is together, and it is time to get organized. If your organization or group wants to join the coalition, you can reach out to Portland DSA to figure out how to do that.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm going to be there.
Again, that's next Saturday, January 25th, 2:30, Pioneer Courthouse Square. This Saturday, tomorrow, January 18th, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. is the sanctions kill talk. So, like we said, like, sanctions are not inert. They are an act of political violence, and they are not diplomacy. And it's going to be explained in full tomorrow at the Metanoia Peace House, 2116 Northeast 18th Avenue in Portland. They're going to be talking about specifically the sanctions against Venezuela and how that is affecting the lives of ordinary people there, and especially how the sanctions are imposed and then people experience the poverty that gets captured and used for propaganda to say that it is because of the movement towards socialism in Venezuela and the Maduro government that causes it, when the sanctions certainly have a very large effect. And that's going to be laid out tomorrow at again the Metanoia Peace House at 2 p.m. Venezuela sanctions kill. So we have that going on. What else is happening in town that we want to tell people about? Oh, the Rashida Tlaib event. She's going to be here on, is it the 24th? At the Hyatt, the new Hyatt Regency. So she's going to be brought out by CARE, the Council on American and Islamic Relations, Friday, January 24th at the Hyatt Regency in Portland, the new Hyatt. So definitely get your tickets, come out to that. Rashida Tlaib, Palestinian representative from Minnesota. And yes. Michigan.
Yeah.
From Michigan. And she's going to be coming out and it's going to be going.
Anyway, keep going.
She's going to be giving a good talk, so people can get their tickets for that this week. And again, that's on Friday, January 24th.
There's another event that is on Saturday, the 25th. So again, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. Because today is Friday.
You break it down so well.
Thank you.
Understand time.
Listen, I really do. You would think otherwise, but I really know what's going on. I know where I'm going.
No one would think otherwise.
Really?
You're
do you
on
mean
point.
That?
Everyone knows it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So this is, oh my gosh, I'm blushing. So Saturday, January 25th at 9:30 a.m. Can you wake up that early on a Saturday? I bet you can. The event is Fixing North Portland's Mail. It's going to be at the Celebration Tabernacle Church at 8131 North Denver Avenue in Portland, the city of Portland.
I love Celebration Tabernacle.
Really?
Shout out Edie Mon today.
Hey. Are you experiencing erratic, unreliable, or late mail delivery? I literally am. Congressman Representative Earl Blumenauer wants to hear your mail story.
Yeah.
Blumenauer has pledged to take our stories to the decision makers at the U.S. Postal Service. Since late September, North Portland's mail delivery has been screwed up. Mail is arriving days late, in the dark, to the wrong address, with constantly changing letter carriers. A, quote, pilot project called Consolidated Casing has been forced onto the 97217 zip code. The U.S. Postal Service from Washington, D.C. is trying to speed up mail carriers, eliminate the number of mail routes, and break up their job into two, the sorters and the street carriers. What's been the result over 4 months? Numerous customer service failings during the test, including entire routes not receiving delivery, pre-sequenced mailing curtailed beyond requested delivery dates, and carriers instructed to disregard the address when delivering walk sequence or marriage mail. Other issues include hold mail that is temporarily misplaced and not processed, changes of address that are not being recorded, mail that does not get forwarded, et cetera, et cetera. And mail carriers are exhausted, working 10 to 12 hours a day, mandated overtime, exposure to a wide variety of safety issues, and delivering on routes that are too long that they're not familiar with. So it's affecting workers, it's affecting you, it's affecting all of us, and we need to stand in solidarity.
Yeah.
So go tell Earl Blumenauer that this is not working. Next Saturday, not this one, not tomorrow, but the one after that, January 25th, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Celebration Tabernacle Church.
Isn't that a great name?
Celebration Tabernacle.
Yeah. So, and Edie Mondonet, the president of the NAACP, is the preacher there. Yeah.
8131 North Denver Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97217.
I was at the first one that they had out there at the post office, and this is part of it went really well. The people from the neighborhood came out, and they really were letting off steam. Like,
love that.
They're really upset about what's happening. So this is a program that is being imposed on the community and the workers without their consent, where they're looking to shrink the size of the post office because eventually, of course, they want to sell it off. Mm-hmm. And it has to be resisted at every turn. So I'm glad that this is happening. So this is people that are up in northeast Portland around Kenton, where Celebration Tabernacle is. So
this is a great example of workers coming together to fight against their boss. It's the postal workers saying, hey, what they're making us do is not fair and it doesn't work well for our system. So we want it to be different. We need to come together as a community and a group of coworkers and make it happen a different way.
And it's an important reminder that in almost any job, in almost any workplace, especially anything that is connected to the community, whether it's service industry, whether it's teachers, no matter what it is, the chances are if conditions are made easier and better for the workers, then the services that you're being provided are probably going to be better because people are really out here trying to do their best and are probably going to take better care of you when they're taken care of. Yeah. We need to stand with each other.
So these are the events that we have this week. If you are in an organization or part of a campaign and you want us to share out some of what you're doing, you can send them in to KBOO and we'll share it with community on the air. So I'm sorry that we have to do this, but do you want to talk about the alleged... A woman can't win.
Oh. I'm sorry. I can't believe you're asking me.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Okay, listen. I've alluded to my feelings about Elizabeth Warren on the show before, and every time Alyssa gives me this look, like the listeners, like what would the listeners think?
Well, no, Olivia, it's because people really are serious about not wanting to divide them.
Yeah,
that's been the goal. Liar.
Until she changed the game.
She's lying.
She's obviously lying.
We know she's lying. And frankly, even if she's not lying, it doesn't matter. Like,
she's remembering it inaccurately, and then she's not taking into account like her entire experience, I'm sure, with Bernie fighting for women's equality and encouraging women to run for office. Like,
listen, women are crazy. No, I'm just kidding. She's emotional. No, she's lying. Listen. And again, like the point being that the reason I'm so, and we are so adamant that she must be lying is because of the fact that even if she wasn't lying, it doesn't matter because Bernie Sanders is the only candidate running right now who has the background to, like, has any evidence that he has earnestly fought for the rights of working women, women of color, of marginalized people.
What's the clip I've seen online going around? It's like from 1986.
Where he's like, a woman could definitely... He literally says the exact opposite of what she said that he said, unprompted.
Yeah.
He's like, a woman could definitely win. Yeah. Like,
he's like, against what other people think, I believe a woman could be the president.
Yeah.
In 1986.
And then Elizabeth Warren in all the... I haven't watched the debates, but I always hear the clips in the morning on Democracy Now! And it's so spicy. And that's the best way to do it because then you get the spiciest parts and you don't just hear Joe Biden... blubbering on about nothing.
That man is incoherent.
He's out of his mind. I'm worried about... Sorry to this man. You know who he is. I quote that every day.
We're going to have to bring that quote in because it is pretty good. What's her name again?
Keke Palmer.
Keke Palmer.
The best response to that was... I think I've said this on the show before, but... Because the clip is Keke Palmer being asked who Dick Cheney is. And I'm going to explain the whole thing. Being asked who Dick Cheney is in an interview with Vanity Fair. And she's... And because... Kiki Palmer was famously on the Nickelodeon show True Jackson VP in the early 2010s. And they
What is that?
It was a Nickelodeon show about a little black girl who becomes the vice president of a fashion of a fashion company. Yeah, fashion company of a clothing brand. Yeah.
Okay.
True Jackson VP.
Okay.
And so they ask her, was Dick Cheney a better vice president than True Jackson? And they put the dang picture of Dick Cheney in front of her, and she says, what? And she's so exasperated, and she goes, I'm sorry to say, I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street in a, I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man. And the best response is, the first time I ever saw it, it was quote tweeted, and somebody said, okay, but has Dick Cheney ever been asked who Kiki Palmer is? And I'm sure he hasn't. And Kiki Palmer is prolific and a much better person. And she was in Aquila and the Bee. So.
Yeah, that's how I know her. I didn't see True Jackson VP.
I want to win. You want to win what? I want to win the National Spelling Bee. Anyway.
Oh, my God. At this point, I think we should get Kiki Palmer on the show if we can.
I would love for Kiki Palmer to be. Anyway. Oh, Elizabeth Warren is
using all kinds of Dick Cheney. I will educate her about Dick Cheney live on air.
Elizabeth, yeah, and she would be shook. It's good because, you know, if she found out who he was, she would hate him.
She would not
like,
be
she doesn't need to know. She doesn't need to know what he's done. Sorry. Yeah, Elizabeth Warren is doing a lot of Hillary stuff where she's just using these weird, like, vague, like, eighth grade, middle school, trying to make, write a persuasive paper, arguments that, like, don't make any sense and have nothing to do with, like, she was, like, all the men, which, like, everybody on that stage is trash except for Bernie, so, like, fair, I guess, but she's, like, all the men on the stage collectively have lost 10 elections. The women on the stage are the only ones who have never lost an election. It's, like, okay, well, you've been in less elections, you haven't run for president before, like, what is this? Everything except for, like, laying her politics against Bernie.
Yeah, let's talk about the issues.
She never critiques Bernie. This is the reason she's doing this, is that she never actually, she doesn't that often openly critique Bernie. She
on the issues.
Just talks about her history, but she can't openly critique Bernie's politics because he's the only one who's to the left of her. She knows that her base is like is so prone to being pulled away by him, which is why she's posting all these weird videos of her calling her constituents and her, the people who are going to vote for her in her kitchen and acting weird as heck
and drinking beer.
Yeah, she sucks. I hate her.
Oh no.
Okay. I love that. And we can talk about this now.
I mean,
I need to.
We went through all of the events that we have coming up this week.
No, I mean, like, we've been, you know, trying to keep everybody on the left all together. Yeah. Anyone who can beat Trump, it's fine. But now.
The United Front does not apply to Democratic candidates. It never has. It never has. And it never will. The United Front does not apply. She said something very heinous recently. I was talking to Alyssa about it. Before you got here, Elizabeth Warren, who once called for the abolition of ICE, now says it needs to focus on drugs. She was speaking at El Chisme 2020, an event led by Latinx organizations and nonprofits. Who hosted forums, talked to presidential candidates.
And a chisme is like a cipher of like gossiping and chatting about light things.
Yeah. So this is what she brought to El Chisme. She said, when ICE comes into our communities and takes our neighbors, friends, and family members, they do not make this country safer. And then she said, which is true, and then she said, oh, I can't find it. That's a video. Basically, she said, the quote is, we need ICE. And what she said was, we need ICE to take care of things like terrorism, drugs, fentanyl. We don't need them doing this nasty family separation stuff, which is true. But her argument is we do need ICE and things like that just somewhere else, which is like, first of all, just like almost a factually baseless statement, because ICE has not existed for that long and exists solely as Immigration Customs Enforcement. It exists solely to police people who are coming across the border because they are coming across the border, period. That is what ICE exists for. That we have always had customs, we have always had procedures through which people cross the border, which like by themselves can be criticized. But ICE specifically as an organization is not a universal thing that exists across the world. It was created in the early 2000s and it exists solely to police immigrants.
Violently.
So like that by itself is like factually inaccurate. And then yeah. also just like, just language around terror, like very like at this point almost like antiquated language around terrorism and drug use.
It comes into being because of the war on terror, which is predicated on lies. Mm-hmm. So yes, terrorists like this is the it's just meant to scare people into allowing these repressive apparatuses to come into being. And now you've got a presidential front runner who calls herself a progressive years later saying that we need it. It's really like it's like terrible. Like I don't know how she has slipped so far so fast, but now she's saying that we need ICE. I didn't think she would slip that fast that far.
Yeah, I don't know what she's doing. But y'all gotta stop standing her. Y'all gotta support Bernie. I'm sorry. It's the only way. I mean, in this race, in this situation that we're in right now, in terms of the presidential race, if you're really serious about this, you gotta stop. She must be stopped. She's awful.
Well, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to finally sound off, because yes, it's true. I've been asking Olivia to hold back talking about this because of wanting to have as many people who support Medicare for All, free college, like things that she and Bernie have been aligned on, and not alienate people who support her, who listen to the show. But
it's also unfortunate when like people who support Bernie and people who support Elizabeth Warren are fighting with each other, because it's a huge distraction and people get turned off, and then they think, oh, well, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden because at least he's not causing all of this divisiveness, and I think he can beat Trump. And that's how we end up with Joe Biden in the presidency, who is a senile old man who has no idea what is relevant.
Who cannot keep his hands to himself.
Who is racist, who is transphobic, who says the most out-of-pocket things. He was so likable at the end of his thing. He was a meme. He should have just left it at that.
Yeah, he could have gone out with dignity with all of those memes that were...
Yeah, I mean, to the general public. Mm-hmm. Now he's out here losing his mind.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Well, okay.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, the only differences between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are like things that there's nothing that's really contentious when you look at it in terms of like progressive politics. They support essentially the same things, except for Elizabeth Warren believes that billionaires should be able to exist, that they should just be taxed more fairly. Mm-hmm. Which I saw this meme. I don't need to like read the whole thing again because it's really specific, but it's just like explaining how long it takes to make $1 billion, how much more $1 billion is compared to $1 million. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like it explains that there is no amount of hard work that doesn't involve exploitation that you can engage in that will ever make you $1 billion. Like, mm-hmm. there is nothing. Nobody has $1 billion through anything except for using other people's labor and paying them much less. So that's one of their disagreements. Well,
even if you could do enough work to earn $1 billion, if you earn $1 billion, you could never spend it. So then deciding, I'm going to keep this $1 billion, mm-hmm. and I see people who are on the street who don't have a place to sleep, or people who are having problems related to not having enough money, and you're not willing to give them any charity or money, you're going to keep the $1 billion for yourself. Like, billionaires are not good people.
The only reason that working class people are out here supporting the idea of billionaires is because of the hope that one day that will be you. And it probably won't be. And if it is, that ain't good. We really could all be out here having all the things that we need. There is enough wealth. The thing about it is that if these were the circumstances we were under, if it was a question of if it truly was a question of scarcity, then I would say, like, yes, get your own, go out, do the best you can. We don't have a lot, so get all you can get. But it's not a question of scarcity. we could all have lives where our basic needs are fully taken care of if the wealth in this world was simply evenly distributed. If the wealth of the United States by itself was evenly distributed, the money is fully there, the food is there, the resources are there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so kind of obvious at this point, I guess, if you like just are in tune with what people on the left are saying, what Bernie Sanders is talking about, like what is in the air in progressive politics. But people forget that it is not unreasonable to just say that billionaires shouldn't exist, and that yes, we should be taking wealth away from people who have it.
We should be preventing billionaires from existing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sickness.
And that you should get more, because that's what people I think have a harder time with too sometimes. Like people in the working class that's really, who are not open to these ideas, it's very sad. It's like, it's not even so much all the time that they think that billionaires should continue to have their money. It's that they don't think, sometimes we don't think that we deserve more than we're getting.
Oh, sure.
So we've been taught that our work is so unvaluable.
Yeah.
But if you are living and breathing on this earth, you deserve your basic needs met.
It's hard to get that through some people's heads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that, me coming into the movement at all was through Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
And that was way like 2011. One of the people who were out there at Zuccotti Park in New York City, this is when I was still living in Jersey, and I was commuting back and forth every day from Jersey City on the PATH train. And one of the people out there started asking me about like who I was, why I was there, and you know what my situation was. And he was asking me about like how I grew up, what is my neighborhood like. Mm-hmm. And I explained a little bit about like having grown up in a very poor family with like, you know, parents that had problems with drugs and the legal system and whatever. And that mostly what I thought was like, oh, well, all of these adults that are in my life that are supposed to be taking care of me are really not able to do that. And I don't know if I'm gonna have enough food or clean clothes or whatever. And all of these people are just, you know, like not responsible, and I'm poor because of them. And in my adult life, I haven't been able to make a way because there's something wrong with me because I haven't been raised right. And these are right wing talking points.
Yep.
And but that's what was in my non-politicized head. Like if there is not an intervention made. A lot of people in poverty do think that they are the cause of their own poverty, and don't believe in their ability to be able to change their situation, or definitely not the situation around them, the system, their communities. So it took a strong movement like Occupy to begin to turn me around from that. But I know that like people who we meet every day are still stuck in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's very strong, and it's hard to break out of that. So like just talking about how bad billionaires are is half of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also like, yeah, let's encourage people to know and believe that they are worth their human rights being met to housing, food, education, like a dignified life.
Yeah.
People don't believe that, I don't think.
No, they don't.
Yeah. They also don't really see where they have the power to make any change to it either. So that's why coming to events like the ones we were talking about earlier are really important things to do, because you come together and you see that all of these other people think this way and realize that we are worth having our basic needs met. And if we work together, we have enough power to do something about it. Seeing the power in everyone together is really a transformational thing that you can experience right here in Portland.
That was the most powerful thing for me when I started organizing, is which it feels so simple to talk about now, but as basically a child, just turned 18, just out of high school when I started becoming politically educated and involved at all, is this idea that I finally like kind of clicked, where I was like, oh my goodness, my whole life everybody's always kind of said these things of like, you're so powerful, you can do anything you want, like the things that a lot of children just get told by the adults around them, and me always kind of being like, yeah, like,
okay.
But then reframing it and being like, oh my goodness, like, we all are actually as powerful as people talk about in this kind of vague way, but we find that power together. Like, that was something that was such a, when that came together for me when I was 18, that was like huge, because it's true. And when you realize that that's actually true, and that it's not just something people tell you to help you get through life, but that there actually can be change when people come together and believe in each other and believe in themselves, that's powerful. And a lot of people aren't there, and we need to get them there. And that's why we need to ardently support politicians who go as far as possible to say that everybody deserves human dignity and their human rights, and why we should not maintain the united front when it comes to the Democratic candidates, and why we should not support Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders is out there saying this isn't about me, not me, us. And mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren is like, oh, actually, this is about me, a woman becoming president. That's the most important thing. So.
In the words of Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is a bigger outsider than a woman running to be the first woman president? Lots of people, including you. We're all bigger outsiders, and we all have a lot more in common with everybody who we rode the bus with today, with everybody who we drove down the street with today, with everybody who we bought food from today, with all of our coworkers, than we ever will with Elizabeth Warren.
Okay, so you want to do one last run through of the events that are coming up? Okay, so again, we have Reclaim MLK at Peninsula Park. That is by Don't Shoot Portland, and that's this Monday, January 20th at 12 p.m.
Like Kayla talked about earlier, the secrets of a successful organizer training. If you're going through hard times at work, and you probably are, it's tomorrow being Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Portland Association of Teachers, 345 Northeast 8th Avenue, held by Northwest Labor Notes Organizing Committee.
Then we've got the U.S. Out of the Middle East rally at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland, and that is going to be on Saturday, not the one that's tomorrow, but a
thank
week later,
you.
January 25th, from 2:30 to 4.
All right, and also there is Venezuela sanctions kill. That's tomorrow, Saturday, January 18th, 2 p.m. at Metanoia Peace House.
I've also got another one we didn't talk about earlier. Wonderful. But the Labor Working Group of the Portland Democratic Socialists of America is having a meeting on the January 28th, which is a Tuesday, and we're going to have instructors from Clark College there talking about what it was like, yes, to be on strike and walk the picket line and win big.
The successful strikers. Excellent. Okay, and then Fixing North Portland's Mail, Saturday, January 25th, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at Celebration Tabernacle Church in North Portland. So that's it.
All right. Good night,
Thank
Alyssa.
Y'all. Good night, Kayla. Olivia. Good night, Kayla.
Good night,
Alyssa.
Good night, Olivia.
Friendly neighborhood agitator, the host of The Struggle, every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. Listen to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM, and online at kboo.fm. The Struggle is where organizers and activists doing good in the community come to discuss their work, to get you to support them, maybe even join them. Remember The Struggle, every Friday, 7 to 8 p.m., KBOO Community Radio.
I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Hi, I'm Shahid Hamid, KBOO board member. Join the World Arts Foundation and KBOO Radio as we pay homage to the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's the 35th anniversary of Keep Alive the Dream, Monday, January the 20th, from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center. This year, we will be joined by international opera star Angela Brown and straight from America's Got Talent, Danielle Damon. That's Monday, January the 20th, from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Or listen live on KBOO Radio or view it on Open Signal Community Television. To celebrate, let's all come together.
KBOO Community Radio is working with Beautiful Portland to collect socks and blankets for those who are sleeping outside this winter. There is a collection box in the lobby of KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, between Burnside and Ankeny. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Join me every first and third Friday from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. From the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and political commentary. We will ease your troubled mind with licensed mental health counselor Cheryl Jefferson, political analysis provided by the Prophet of Rage, and calling in from the planet of rhythm and blues, musicologist Professor Soul. From the grassroots, I'm your host, Lanita Duke, on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland. You're listening to From the Grassroots, where we...